Hey everyone, good morning. My name is Dan. I'm part of the team at Open Doors. Thank you for having me and thank you so much for your prayer and support for the persecuted church. It's amazing and such an encouragement and blessing to our family around the world. I'm married to Grace, got three kids and we live in Derbyshire, which is great. My hair doesn't normally look like this, it's thanks to lockdown, so looking forward to that easing in some way and getting out and about a little bit. Worked for Open Doors for a couple of years, a charity founded by Brother Andrew. You may have read his story in God Smuggler, and that's where it all began. We support persecuted Christians around the world who share our faith, but not our freedom. A persecuted Christian is someone who, because of their faith in Jesus, is pursued. That's what the word means. It can mean they lose their job and income. They could be isolated, forced out of their families. Their buildings and churches could be targeted and set on fire. And in the most extreme cases, it can mean imprisonment, abduction, or even death, just for following after Jesus. Let me share with you a story. Rebecca, Etni and Ratna are three women from Indonesia and they led a church of about 30 people. And Rebecca would take the lead on that and she was a GP as her day job. And as Rebecca would walk to the church each week, she started to notice loads of kids just knocking about on the street. No one kind of caring for them or looking after them. And so she started a club. She got permission. So she started a club on a Sunday, like a Sunday school, feeding them, providing fun and games and food, but also sharing about the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And she ran this club with her two friends, Etni and Ratna. And it was a beautiful thing until actually the impact started to be noticed by people. And local Muslim fundamentalists got these three ladies arrested. A show trial took place, about 500 people just screaming and hurling abuse and hatred at these three women. And as a result, they were imprisoned for 5 years for telling children about Jesus. They were placed in a wing called Block Juanita with terrorists and drug smugglers. And one of the inmates had a policy that if you gave her $10, she would kill anybody for you. All of this for following Jesus. And this is the challenge that many Christians face all over the world. We work in over 60 countries supporting, caring, providing and equipping Christians to follow Jesus. The Open Doors World Watch List is something we produce each year and it ranks the 50 most dangerous places on earth to follow Jesus. It shows the global state of play, if you like. And for the 20th consecutive year, North Korea is top of the list. If you go to our website, which is www.opendoorsuk.org, there you'll find articles, prayer points, and greater details on all of the top 50 countries and many others. And they represent over 340 million Christians. And that's just short of the population of the United States of America. 340 million stories, 340 million Christian brothers and sisters. And in the last year, persecution has intensified and increased. The fires of persecution are burning faster and further than ever before. And you can see this demonstrated with the two pictures I'm putting on screen now, one from 2016 and one from 2021. And the red and orange colours you can see on these maps are for extreme and high levels of persecution. And you can see how it has intensified even over the last 5 years. We have a chalkboard in our kitchen that we write all sorts of things on, from reminders through to inspirational quotes. And in this moment, actually for some time, we've had the words of C.S. Lewis on this board. They read, "Life with God is not immunity from difficulties, but peace within difficulties. We can know the peace that passes all understanding in our hearts and in our minds." And I want to today reflect upon some words from 2 Corinthians 4, the lessons that we learn from it and how we can take heart that no matter what we face, we can take heart. So I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and I'm going to start in verse 7. Paul says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. Paul is writing to tell this church that despite their suffering, despite their brokenness and failures, that God is in the business of redemption, that God will build, that God will reconcile, that God will encourage. And Paul time and again talks about us having strength in weakness. It's a real countercultural teaching, that, isn't it? That actually in our weakness we discover strength. We appreciate our powerlessness in those moments, but in our powerlessness, we see the power of God. Verse 7, Paul says we have this treasure in jars of clay. In the ancient world, it was a common metaphor for human weakness. And we're told that this treasure that we have, Jesus, is shown in just jars of clay. In us, in weakness, in brokenness. This last year has certainly floored us at times. We've all experienced a measure of hardship, of isolation, dealing with restrictions and all the emotion that's gone on with that, with pain and loss and grief. And yet it's in our weakness that we can display the triumph of God. If you feel broken by this last year, know this. God can and does do amazing things. I see it all the time in our persecuted church family. Now, if I was in prison for following Jesus, I'd probably be a wreck, screaming for help, feeling utterly hopeless, feeling alone, feeling weak. Where would I see God's strength? How could I bring hope? Let me go back to that story I opened with earlier from Indonesia. Rebecca, Etni and Ratna, they faced a choice behind these bars. What would they do? They told children about Jesus, but what would they do now? In the face of trial, when they feel beaten up, when they feel alone, they chose to bring light into the darkest of places. Block Juanita was this sinister prison block. It had excrement and urine all over the walls of the prison. An utterly hopeless place. Yet in the first 24 hours of being in this place, something remarkable happened. Rebecca heard the voice of God, this whisper of God, the Holy Spirit. And responding to what she heard, she asked for buckets of water, for disinfectant, and the three ladies began to scrub down the place. They began to take their rations and gave them away. They began to cook for others in the prison, so that inmates could eat properly. And gradually, little by little by little, the environment began to change as these ladies continually were thanking God and serving him in the darkest of places. In just the third week of their imprisonment, one of the prison guards came to Rebecca, the doctor, telling her that he had severe stomach cramps and said, "Will you help me?" Now, question for you, would you help someone who is unjustly keeping you locked in your cell for at least 15 hours every single day? Well, Rebecca did. She gave him advice, and at the end of the month, 40 guards were receiving medical advice from Dr. Rebecca. It's quite remarkable. It's treasure in jars of clay, so that when the trouble comes, which it does, and we may feel heavy-hearted and we might feel in the midst of it right now, but we have to throw ourselves back on the mercy of God. And in doing so, we appreciate the life-giving power of God when we realise our powerlessness. He can use us in all and every situation if we would just surrender our will to his. These great verses again. Verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Many of us, I'm sure, will identify with some, if not all, of these feelings at different points in our life. Yet it's the fourfold "but not" here that encourages us. The story is not over. Struck down, but not destroyed. We bring our challenge, our affliction, our confusion to him. the imagery kind of stirs up this imagery of a boxing match. You know, we might have been knocked to the canvas, but the bell's not been rung. Let me tell you about Chinese evangelist Wang Mingdao. 1955. Wang Mingdao is imprisoned by the Chinese government for resisting the government. Now, what that means was Wang Mingdao was saying, no, Jesus is Lord, nobody else. And because of that, he was imprisoned. He was told that he could go free if he would sign a confession of his crimes. He had to state that he would no longer be a Christian. He would stop sharing about Jesus. And so Wang Mingdao initially signed that document and he was released. But within a few days, he realized he'd made a terrible mistake. He went back to the authorities, he recanted his confession, and as a result, he was sentenced to 22 years in prison. Many of those years in solitary confinement. An evangelist, if you've ever met an evangelist, locked up by themselves, well, worst case scenario for an evangelist, no one to speak to. What would you do? Down, but not out. Ever the evangelist, Wang Mingdao realised he could actually preach down the pit toilet in the corner of his cell, as all the sewage pipes were linked together, and so the sound would carry to other prisoners. And so he decided to make this toilet his preaching platform. And over many years, during the time of his imprisonment, he saw 96 people come to faith because he taught them about Jesus by preaching down the pit toilet. This is what the man had to say. I had no Bible, no pulpit, no audience, no pen, no paper. I could do nothing except get to know God. And for 20 years, that was the greatest relationship that I have ever known. When I was in the cell, the only thing I was focused on was getting to know Jesus. It was only me and him in that cell. And so you need to build yourself a cell where it's only you and Jesus. He maximized what he had. He gave it all for Jesus. After all, Jesus had given it all for him. And that line challenges me. You need to build yourself a cell where it's only you and Jesus. Think about your own life before God. We were far from him. You might feel far from him right now. Yet in God's grace and his mercy, he's made a way for us in the person of Jesus Christ. It's what we celebrate at Easter. In fact, we celebrate all the time. That while we were still sinners, while we were far off, Christ died for us. God's love for us is that strong that he dies in our place. Remarkable. So when we are down, we're still loved. When we're broken, we're still loved. So don't give up. Keep going. Keep trusting. Keep looking up. Paul continues on in this passage and he calls us to hope. And hope is not this faint, wishful thinking. Often is in the world, but biblical hope is the confident expectation of God doing what God has promised that he will do. It's based on the strength of God's faithfulness, not of our own. I love that. Hope is based on the strength of his faithfulness, not our own. Therefore, hope is about him. It's not about us. And I believe this passage and the experience of our persecuted church family should drive us to hope. Paul talks about God the Holy Spirit being with us, being present, knowing God's got it, he's in control. That the same God who raised Jesus from the dead will raise us to life. Look at what he goes on to say from verse 16. So, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We persevere because we know that even in our brokenness and in our weakness that God is at work. I love that Paul says collectively, we do not lose heart. It's not just his own personal experience, but it's for all of us. We all face things that we'd rather not go through. But even then, don't lose heart. We don't throw in the towel because we have eternity in mind. Paul contrasts here the present age with the future. He says, guys, compared with what is to come, whatever we face is light and momentary. It's not minimizing what we're going for. It's just in comparison to. Remember Rebecca, Etney and Ratner in prison for teaching Sunday school kids? Well, after 3 months of imprisonment, they were called to the superintendent's office where they were told that I was informed that you were subversive and I was going to break you all in prison. But you've been a blessing to the entire prison. They're the words of the superintendent. He goes on to say, how would it be if I invited your church to come into the prison and take services every single Sunday? Remarkable. Now, over the course of their time in prison, Rebecca, Etney and Ratner were a blessing to all those in prison with them. These are Rebecca's words. Every second of every day, I have to trust Jesus with all of my heart and I have to lean on him. I don't understand the circumstances fully, but I trust that he will guide me. I am becoming a master of trusting God. And I'm full of joy and peace that God is going to be glorified through my surrendered life. Prison was not the end of their story, nor is COVID or what's to come, the anxiety that surrounds all of that. The call for us is to surrender to Jesus, and he will deal with all the detail. As these three women walked free from this prison, other prisoners were crying. They were released on a Friday, but by the Monday they were back in the prison as guests, discipling the 47 people they'd led to faith during their time. They were broken vessels. They had treasure in jars of clay, carrying hope, with their eyes up, not on the things that are seen, but on the eternal. So my friends, how do we respond? What can we do? Well, we want our persecuted church family who share our faith but not our freedom to know that they are not alone. That we're family. That we stand with them. That we support them. That we would stand in the gap. And GAP stands for giving, action and prayer. We can support, we can act and we can pray. Action can look like all kinds of things. But with Rebecca, Etney and Ratner's story, they were released halfway through their sentence, so that they were sentenced for 5 years, but they only served 2.5 years because supporters in the UK and Ireland and around the world wrote to the president of Indonesia. We can pray. Time and again, the persecuted church, they tell us, they say, we love that you pray with us. We know that you pray. We know God's presence, so please pray. There is no prison wall that's too thick for prayers to be answered. As Brother Andrew says, and this is especially true right now with travel restrictions, our prayers go where we cannot. God bless you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Mark, for having me. Thank you so much for your support, for your prayers, for your giving, your action, your prayers for our persecuted family who choose to follow Jesus, no matter the cost. God bless.